Kol HaLashon, the entire Torah, everywhere.
Okay, welcome to tonight's program. Tonight is Shir 200, and thank you for being here. First, to thank of every week all people that come on, and they post it on their status, and they email people about it, and let people know about it. I really appreciate it. It's a Sikh Chaverim, place to talk through important issues that are going on. And there's been so much going on, so Baruch Hashem, there's a lot to talk about in one sense, but in another sense, some of it is difficult, but hopefully tonight we'll get some chizik and clarity. If anybody wants to join our WhatsApp chats, the status, WhatsApp me at 732-314-1710, and I'll send you the community links. I'll also post it in the chat, and if you go to menachemberfeld.com, you could sign up to get all those emails, those email lists of the speakers and the replays and everything, so please join. For people that are watching this on YouTube, please click on the subscribe button, also click on the like button. And I want to first start off thanking all the advertising sponsors of Lake Scoop here on Lakewood, Ellie and Ariel from 5Town Central, Chayla Kapp from JCM for always promoting us on all the Jewish digital platforms. If anybody's here for the first time, every Sunday night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern, on this Zoom ID, we have different rabbanim, different therapists, different topics that we talk about. It's a place to get together and really speak things out. Mitchum, next week, September 1st, there'll be no shir, there'll be no program. A lot of people are traveling, including me, so we decided next week not to have a shir, but Mitchum, we have September 8th, September 15th full, Mitchum until Rosh Hashanah, a lot of big speakers. Mitchum, September 8th, we're going to have Rabbi Aaron Schwartzman. He's a big therapist from Boca Raton, Florida. We're going to be discussing a very important topic. I don't think we ever really discussed this topic in clarity. Understanding and healing the authentic self. How attachment and identity shape addiction recovery. So talk about identity. What is identity? What does identity mean? We always use the word a lot. We're really going to get into that. And please join us for a very powerful program on September 8th. Tonight's shir is shir 200. We're zeicha to be here for 200 shir Menachem. 200 shir.
Amazing.
We waited for a Yaakov Klein to come on tonight, specifically for 200, because the gematria is so perfect for his speech. We're going to turn over to Arna Yechfri for the gematria of 200.
Shalom Avrach, everybody. Rav Shavuch Adoyah, the Kaddish Baruch Hu. We reached the milestone, shir number 200. And Matt Shem, we should be able to give many, many, many more shirim. Tonight's shir, we'll be discussing dawn of redemption. Is Mashiach already here? When we all place together that Hashem is our Father and He is in complete control of the entire world, Mashiach will surely come. Which leads us up to tonight's gematria of 200. Loi av echad likulonu. He is a father for all of us.
Amen. Beautiful, beautiful gematria. Okay, let's jump into it. We're going to turn first to Coach Menachem Bernfeld. Sunday night in the summer. We appreciate everybody coming. Menachem, we're here tonight. What are we talking about? What are we trying to accomplish tonight?
Great question. Thank you. Thank you very much. I want to thank everyone for joining. Yes, Baruch Hashem. It is number 200 with a lot of siyata d'shmaya, and I think it's time to give a shevach v'aydah that we're here. It's a dream. We never believed we'll be here. We don't know how it works, but for some reason, Baruch Hashem, it works. So Hashem should help us continue, give us the koyach. And what are we talking about tonight? So first of all, it's a big schos to have Rabbi Klein with us. We have covered topics on Mashiach, especially now before Tisha B'Av. We had Charlie Arari talking about what the way of Tzipisa Yeshua, what exactly are we looking for. He mentioned there are many people that if Hashem would tell him that, you know, I'll take away all your tzaras, give the money you need and all the Yeshuas. And then a lot of people would say, okay, I'm in. So what exactly are we looking for? What's that Tzipisa Yeshua that we're looking for that we're missing? And it's a topic because it's something that's many people don't understand
Kol HaLashon.
What we're looking for, how to hold on to it, how to touch it. And it's not easy. So I think tonight we're going to go a little bit deeper, a little bit more understanding. It's an interesting topic, talking about Mashiach always, you know, always people have questions. But I think tonight, Mitzvah Shem, we'll be able to go a little deeper. I'm just thinking if somebody would... If you would zoom out, if you can pull yourself out, and if you would have time to think a little bit, if you wouldn't be scared to think, because a lot of people are scared, you know, a lot of unknown, what am I supposed to think about? But to look, just to look what's going on in the world, it's pretty clear there's something going on, and we all are hoping and we know that we are in the days of Mashiach. Now, how, what, when, and where? Great questions. But there's something going on, whether it's in Eretz Yisrael, you know, the Yad Hashem that we're seeing, and Hashem should help all the Eden in the whole world with anti-Semitism. And, you know, not only that, elections, and but us, Eden, we're trying to figure out, you know, Hashem, we don't belong here. We're waiting for Mashiach. How do we do this? What's going on? Where's the world going? So we can clearly see there's something going on. So some people are scared because they don't have the answers. So they rather just continue their regular life and they don't think about it because it's not always easy. And I understand that. But the question is, what does Hashem want from us? And I think that's what we're going to talk about. What does Hashem want from us? What does Hashem want from me personally? Is there something that I can do? Is there something that Hashem wants me to do? And that's usually the question that we have. So hopefully, Mitzvah Hashem, I know a little bit, Rabbi Yaakov, you know, reading the book and listening to some of the amazing lectures that you gave. I know that you're going to bring us into a different dimension, a different ruach. And for some people that might be new, I would tell them just hold on tight, listen, and let's see where this goes, you know. Hopefully we'll get some clarity, something that we can walk away with, some practical, some feeling, something that we can do. And Mitzvah Shem should be a big schos, and this itself should bring us closer, Mitzvah Shem, to Mashiach, to Keno, Mitzvah Shem.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, we're going to go to get into it. So tonight, we title tonight's Shir, Dawn of Redemption, is Mashiach already here? Jewish Universalism, Pnimius, Atara, and the mission of the one of our wondrous generation. We have a schos that Rabbi Yaakov Klein over here from, he lives in the UK currently. And Rabbi Yaakov, is it okay if I read your bio and then we'll get into it?
Sure.
Okay, Rabbi Yaakov Klein is an author, lecturer, and musician devoted to sharing the light of Pnimius Atara and Chassidus through his very inspirational content. Rabbi Yaakov serves as the founding director of Elicha, a UK-based organization focusing on creating opportunities for spiritual growth and experiential education in the local London, Manchester, and Gateshead communities, as well as reaching Jews across the globe with his books, shiurim, and courses. He currently lives in London with his wife, Shira, and their three children. It's an honor to have you here tonight. Everybody should just know, Rabbi Yaakov woke up at 2:30 in the morning, so we really appreciate it. So I said, we have people from all over the world come to this program, even people from the UK. We're so impressed by that. Rabbi Yaakov, the floor is yours.
Thank you so much. It's such a schos, it's such a privilege to sit with all of you. So many familiar faces. Such a privilege. The timing doesn't usually work out that all of us get to be together on Zoom. Dear friends, fellow journeyers, family, what a privilege. What a schus that we have to sit together. When I'm tired and I'm giving a shir, I usually tell people that if I fall asleep in the middle, they should throw something at me. But that's not going to work here. So maybe, Rav Asher, you'll just yell very loud or something. Okay? But we'll try our best. Be'ezras Hashem. I actually wanted to begin with a kapitel tehillim, if that's okay, before we jump into the learning. Just a little bit of tefillah la'ar, the massive, in Eretz Yisrael and the world. And for all of us,
we can put it on the screen. So if you want to give me the kapitel.
Yeah, great. I mean, I was going to read it, pasuk by pasuk, but
yeah,
put it on the screen as well.
What number?
I believe it's Kuflamin. Okay, so let's do that now. And then we'll jump into it with Hashem's help. Hashir amaloi, smi mamakim, kerasicha adoinoi.
Hashir amaloi, smi mamakim, kerasicha adoinoi.
Adoinoi, shim abikoli, tien oznecha kashuvois, lekol tachanunoi.
Adoinoi, shim abikoli, tien oznecha kashuvois, lekol tachanunoi.
Ima avoinoi, stishmaria, adoinoi, miya amoi.
Adoinoi, stishmaria, adoinoi, miya amoi.
Im chaslicha leman tivarei.
Im chaslicha leman tivarei.
Ivisi adoinoi kivsa nafshi v'ledvaroi oicholti.
Ivisi adoinoi kivsa nafshi v'ledvaroi oicholti.
Afshila adoinoi mishoim rim laboike, shoim rim laboike.
Afshila adoinoi mishoim rim laboike, shoim rim laboike.
Yachel Yisrael el Adonino, Kim Adonino, Yachesed v'arbe imoy fido.
Yachel Yisrael el Adonino, Kim Adonino, Yachesed v'arbe imoy fido.
Who yiftes Yisrael mikol avoynoiso.
Yiftes Yisrael mikol avoynoiso. Achenu.
And the Kabbalists saw in the son of the Sabbath, you aim to me, 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 This being the 200th episode, we want to give also a tremendous bracha to Reb Menachem, Reb Asher, everybody else that's involved, that they should be zerchet to hundreds and hundreds more hours, helping Yidden heal, helping Yidden grow. What a schus. That should stand by them and their families. L'netzach netzachim le'ezes Hashem. One thing is plainly obvious to all of us that are on the Zoom together, 200 Yidden, who are mavakshei Hashem, who are seeking something. That's why we're here, because we're looking for something. Is that Zed Dar Darshav? This is a generation that is seeking. This is a searching generation. People are thirsty. People are looking for something. People have the sense that what was is ready to evolve, is ready to develop, is ready to grow, to meet the demands of a new world, of a rapidly changing world. There's a demand on the part of our neshamas very deeply for a Torah of relevance, real relevance. The Dagah Machaneh Ephraim comments on a pasuk that we read two parshiyos ago. Moshe Rabbeinu is telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'schanan al Hashem ve'isayi leimor. Pasuk tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu was davening to Hashem at that time, saying, and the pasuk can continue, that he was mamash davening to get into Eretz Yisrael. The Dagah says that there's a Moshe Rabbeinu in every generation, and that Moshe Rabbeinu are those aspects of the soul of Moshe Rabbeinu are the leaders. And v'eschanan al Hashem, the tefillah of those leaders ought to be that be'es hahi lemar, that the Torah that they're teaching should be be'es hahi, meaning it should be relevant to the time, to the generation that they currently live in. That's the tefillah of every conscious leader. Because the Torah has to be relevant. It has to be something that we can relate to, something that addresses our current circumstances, whether it's personal or communal or national. And this is what we're looking for. Zed Dar Darsha. This is a seeking generation. Chazal comment on this pasuk, Zed Dar Darsha, and they say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Adam Rishon Dar Dar V'Darsha, every generation and its leaders. But the word Doresh in this context could mean a leader, but it could also mean to interpret, like a darshan, so a person who darshans something, explains a pasuk, interprets it, provides an avenue for understanding that might have been closed off otherwise. And so in a certain sense, we could say, Zed Dar Darshav, this is a generation of interpreters, meaning we are the beneficiaries of thousands of years of Torah scholarship, that today we have access to in ways that our grandparents, even great-grandparents, great-great-grandparents couldn't have dreamt of. And today it's a bechina, it's an aspect which we'll speak about at length now, of being in the ikvus of the Mashiach, which is Tet Parshas Eka, being mamish at the threshold of Geula, and we'll speak about that. Where it's an aspect of Dun, Shevet Dun, that came all the way at the end of the Shvatim, as Chazal explained, they were called Ma'asif L'chala Machanese. They were the very, very, very last Shevet, and they were the repository for anything that might have been lost or misplaced along the journey through Galus, or through the desert, rather, and they were able to bring it in. So in a certain sense, our generation, standing on the shoulders of giants, standing with open arms, receiving the entirety of our tradition, we have a huge privilege of being able in a hyper-individualistic sense, because that's the zeitgeist, that's the spirit of our times, to be able to allow our neshamas to find our own drushas, our own interpretation, our own gateway into this huge world of Torah, of Yiddishkeit, of closeness to Hashem. I say I'm among Mevakshei Hashem. I hope that I'm counted among them. I feel if there's one thing that I could say about myself is that I've really always been a Mevakish. I really have. From the earliest years, I've been looking for something. I can't say that I quite found it yet, and I hope to always be searching and always looking, like I bless all of us to be. And even if we haven't found, we have to keep in mind the teaching from Reb Tzadik, who says that Yismach Lev Mevakshei Hashem, the Pasuk doesn't say joyous are the hearts of those who have found Hashem, but joyous are the hearts of those who are searching for Hashem. So there's already great joy to be among those that are seeking, that are searching. But I was always searching for a Yiddishkeit that I felt fit with a deep, deep sensation inside of my neshama that there's got to be more. There has to be something more. It has to be a Yiddishkeit that mamish we can really try on in such a way that it fits us. It enables us to come to life, like v'chai b'hem, really a Yiddishkeit of life. And this ended up becoming, not in a professional sense, but just because this is an extension of my own journey, it ended up becoming what I actually do for a living. Chazesh, I don't call it work, but I'm privileged enough to be able to guide Yidden to journey together with them, both in communal contexts, individual contexts, one-on-ones, community events here in London, in Manchester, in Gateshead, the whole UK, which was one of the reasons for us moving here, is that we really have an opportunity to impact the whole country, which, you know, America is much, much bigger. It's much more difficult to do. Through the books, through the shiurim, is all an exercise in me attempting to communicate the drushas that I've discovered that enabled me to fall in love with Yiddishkeit again and to offer them to the public in the hope that if there are some with whom this message resonates, matoiv manayim, and we can link arms and we can journey together with the full awareness that there are going to be those for whom this message doesn't resonate. And that's also beautiful. And that's the whole exercise. That's the whole thing. That's it. So tonight here, Be'ezras Hashem, or this morning for me, but tonight for all of us, I would like to share two specific interpretations or definitions that I've discovered that have helped to reframe where we come from, where we're headed, and what it means to be a Jew. Tremendously fundamental, right? Basic issues of identity, both in personal identification and in history, in the time that we find ourselves in. And the two words that I'd like to sort of revisit, you know, there's so many more, that Baruch Hashem I've addressed in Shiurim, and I'll continue to address, and we'll continue to discover together. These two words that I'd like to analyze now are the word Mashiach and the word Am Segula. Mashiach and this concept of chosenness, which is fundamental to the Jewish identity. Let's first take a look at the title of the class, which is admittedly an ambitious one and a provocative one. Is Mashiach already here? And of course the answer is no. Obviously. Of course the answer is no. But the answer is also yes. So how is this possible? Well, if the coming of Mashiach is an event, meaning to say that it's galus, 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 and then someone flicks a light switch and poof, Mashiach is here. So we can't have these two answers concurrent or bilateral with one another. He can't both be here and not be here. And so the premise of this presentation, understanding Mashiach, is that Mashiach is not an event. Mashiach is a process. And in that sense, much like Rabbi Nachman interprets the word Olam Haba, not as meaning the world to come, but the world that is perpetually arriving, Olam Haba, it's always approaching. In that sense, Mashiach is here, and he's also not quite here yet, but he's also here. And so I'd like to unpack this idea a little bit. First, to a source, and the source is a Medrash Shochet Tov and Tehillim, but it shows up in other places in Chazal, where you have two Tanoim, Reb Chiya Rabba and Reb Shimon Mechalafta, who are walking on a mountaintop, and they see the dawn. They see sunrise. which I'll hopefully be seeing as well in a little bit over here. They see sunrise. And Rav Chiya Rabba says to Rav Shimon ben Chalafta Rebbe, Kach higu losan shel Yisrael. This dawn is a metaphor, is a reflection of the redemption of the Jewish nation, and by virtue and extension, the world, as we'll see. B'tchila kima kima. It begins slow, 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 just like the sun doesn't rise all at once. Fascinatingly enough, the Rambam says that the reason Hashem made it in the Teva, that the sun rises little by little, is because it would hurt our, it would be damaging to our eyes. It's very, very deep, alpipnimius, right? Meaning, on a physiological level, you go from pitch black to light, and it's jarring. Of course, this has deeper meanings as well. It would be too much for us to handle. B'tchila kima kima. And kol shi'oleches hi rabav oleches. The more that it proceeds, it grows. It speeds up. The process gains momentum. And it expands in quality and quantity. The metaphor that's used in the Medrash is precise, like all chazal, not arbitrary. The metaphor that's used in dawn is a metaphor of sunrise, a metaphor of light. Light is associated with warmth. Light is associated with clarity. Light is associated with vision, being able to see further than we would have without this illumination. And there's a deep understanding across the entire spectrum of Chachmei Yisrael, who are plugged into Mesoras Yisrael, and the way that the Mesorah has unfolded throughout our history, that the connection between the Geula and the realm of Torah we're in, that universe of light and warmth and clarity is captured, which is called Pnimius HaTorah, or those deeper levels of interpretation and experience of the mitzvahs of Yiddishkeit, which we'll speak about now, is absolutely incredibly, unbreakably strong. That there's a link between our engagement with the realm of Pnimius HaTorah and the coming of Mashiach. The Or HaGanos, or that hidden light, is Torah HaSoid. So it is a secret, it's hidden, it's whispered. But it's a light. Already from the Zohar Kadosh, the textbook of Kabbalah, of Jewish mysticism, makes it very clear unequivocally, and this is echoed by the Gaon Eben Shlema, of course it's echoed in the Chassidus Sfar of the Baal Shem, Rabbi Nachman, and so on, that B'sifra da yifkun bein galusa b'rachmei. With this Sefer, which aptly is called the Sefer HaZohar, which means shine, like sun, sunrise, light. With this Sefer, the Ihu Sefer HaZohar will leave galus b'rachmei. Tremendous, tremendous mercy. And the Tzaddikim explained that throughout history, the darker the exile became, the further into the pit we sank. After generations of concealment and persecution and the hiddenness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like a really ill patient, person doesn't just, he's so ill so he could just go to the doctor down the road. No. The sicker the patient, the greater the surgeon, the greater the doctor, the greater the specialties. People travel all around the world to be able to get healing from the highest place when a person is in the lowest madrega. And so the tzaddikim teach that Hashem put it into the hanhaga, into the framework of reality, that as the darkness of exile progressed, intensified, at the same time became a process of disclosure, revelation of this world of Pnimius HaTorah, originally given on our Sinai to Moshe Rabbeinu, finally enabled to be brought out in print through Rabbi Shimon, his teachings, and then much later on in history when it was actually publicized. And then after that, the Ari HaKadosh, who provided a key to enable us to begin to understand really what the Zohar is saying. And then after that, the Baal Shem Tov in his way, the Gra in his way, according to Breslover Hasidim, Rabbi Nachman is the final stage, the final revelation of a whole new way of understanding Hashem and understanding Yiddishkeit, understanding Avodas Hashem, which we'll speak about. But this was a process of disclosure, deeper and deeper and deeper layers, enabling the masses to taste, if not to open up, you know, Eitzus Chaim to start learning Arizal, but to taste and to draw from those streams of deeper Torah, of a Torah of depth, of a Torah of broad-mindedness, a Torah that enables us to think bigger, not just about our own Godless Ha'adam, Tikkun Amidos, our own personal development, but to think about the Shechina, to think about Klal Yisrael, to see ourselves not just as individuals, but as parts in a collective. And a collective is true both in space, in terms of our nation, but in time. To see ourselves as a link in the grand chain of history. Pnimius HaTaira forces us to engage with Emuna, not just in an intellectual way, but in a very, very deep, a very real way. From this standpoint, Mashiach is more a consciousness than it is an actual person. Now, of course, I'll be pshat, look in the Hilchos Rambam, Mashiach will come, and he will be an actual leader. These two things are not contradictory. It's possible to suggest that that figure of Mashiach will close out the process. But the Baal Shem Tov made it unequivocally clear. Take a look in Maranayim, Parshas Pinchas, many sources, the Maral, and other places, make it very clear that each and every one of us, in this sense, has a nitzitz of Mashiach, has a spark of Mashiach. Meaning, there's a spark of redemption within each and every one of us. Redemption in terms of freeing our perspectives on life, on other people, on ourselves, on the Torah, what the mitzvahs are, what Shabbos is. There's a Shabbos of Gullus, and there's a Shabbos of redemption, of freedom, of clarity, of light, of warmth, of dawn. And the Baal Shem says that the Geula HaKlalis, the collective redemption, is only a sum total of each and every member of Am Yisrael identifying and activating their own nitzitz, their own spark of Mashiach. When all of us do that, wow, Mashiach is here. We'll be a person who leads this process, guides this process. But that means that you and I have an active part in this experience. Now, just to put this into an historical framework, we know from many Chazals that the history of the world mirrors the structure of the week. And so in the week, you have 7 days, of course, and there's a fundamental distinction between the 6 days, the Sheishes Yemei HaMaisa, and Shabbos Kodesh, of course. And the Tzaddikim explain that the same is true for the entirety of history that follows the same pattern, this time swapping out 1 day for 1,000 years. Ki elef shonim be'inecha ki yoyim esmol, the Pasuk in Tehillim, 1,000 years for 1 day. If you do the math, because 0 to 1,000, people get confused, is not a number. It's zero. So the first millennia is the second millennia. So we're counting in for five now, right? But we are so far into the sixth millennia, which is Erev Shabbos in this standpoint, right before the Shabbos HaGadol Shebegedolim, right, which is the coming of Mashiach, that if you do the calculations, which of course I couldn't do on my own because mathematics is not my strong suit, as everybody knows, I think, or anybody who knows me knows. But if you do the calculations, it turns out that where we are currently in history is equivalent to 3 hours left to Shabbos. If, assuming Shabbos comes in at 6 p.m. on a perfect day, we're 3 hours away. Now think about what your home looks like 3 hours before Shabbos. Hopefully, that's Hashem. Friday's not the easiest day, especially with young kids. But hopefully, maybe the table is set. Everyone's getting ready. All the food is prepared. Zehu, like we're on the threshold of the threshold. If you want it in years, there are 216 years left until the 7,000th millennia. That's nothing. I mean, our great-grandchildren will have to see Mashiach. For sure, we believe that he's coming long before then. But in this framework, just to put it into perspective, we are remarkably near. And to continue to engage with the Yiddishkeit, that is Gaulus oriented in the sense like, well, there's no fundamental difference between where we are now in history and where they were in Poland in the 1500s is a crazy misunderstanding. How could that be? Of course something has to shift. Of course the process that's begun all the way back really with the giving of the Torah and continued through Rav Shimon and through the Ari and through the Baal Shem and through Rabbi Nachman and through all these great tzaddikim called the Chameshus Yichidei HaDoros, these five unique tzaddikim who disclosed brand new layers of Torah that nothing would be the same without any of them. In a certain sense, now that sounds surprising when it comes to Rabbi Nachman, because like it's just a marginal chassid. But if you really think about it deeply, the impact that he's had on the consciousness of all Jews of Hashem and the ideas of ancient Miyush Boilam Klal, no despair, the chizik that he breathed into Am Yisrael and continues to do is unimaginable. But leave that aside. The process is so heating up. It's unbelievable. And that's why when we look around at our generation, we see a remarkable thirst for this area of Torah. It began, I remember I did a Facebook post about this recently. It began, I don't know, in earnest 10 years ago. Small shuls, every community had little break-off minyanim, kalbach minyanim, ruach minyanim. People were looking for something. They wanted to sing. They wanted to feel Shabbos. Those became shuls with time. Ish Kodesh and Woodmere, my Rebbe, who I spoke to this morning, very excited about this, Baruch Hashem, Rav Moshe Weinberger. And then, much more recently, the Kiel of Rabbi Yossi Zakatinsky, KMH, the Thank You Hashem Chevrov, that's more recent. But the small pockets of Jews, maybe the stragglers who, travel to Uman, but it was weird. But is it weird? I mean, I don't know. I mean, hundreds and thousands and tens of thousands of people, regular Jews, and like me and you. Something's pulling people. Meron exploded. What's the whole ASIC of Meron? What a bunch of people who learn Gemara all day have with Rabbi Shimon and the Zohar. There's something inexplicable about the feeling that's universal that all of us have, that Mashu Chaser. So like something's missing. So my book, The Story of Our Lives, we call it The Lost Princess. The princess is lost. Shabbos is lost. We have the what, where, how, and when of Yiddishkeit, but the why, like the soul, the spark to activate it, that Yiddishkeit shouldn't be just a culture or a community or a way of life, but it should be really an immersive experience of dveikus, of connection to Hashem, that transforms us and enables us, as we're going to see in a moment, to transform the world. That's because in our time, this is it. This is what's necessary today. This is what people are thirsty for. A Yiddishkeit of depth, of pnimius, of Hashem. Now, here's where I want to take you to a bigger perspective. And bear with me, because it's not easy to transition from our ordinary way of thinking about the world to what I'm about to speak about now. If it resonates, wonderful. If not, not every person has their own journey. And I can only offer what resonates with me and what has given me tremendous clarity and light in the hope that it might resonate with others. That's the whole thing. What is this Inyan Geula? What is it really? So we spoke about Mashiach, consciousness, freedom, redemptive Judaism, getting into the depth of Yiddishkeit, really for real, not just an intellectual or communal or societal engagement, but something that's alive. But in order to really figure out like how this thing is supposed to look at the end, which we're rapidly approaching, if not on the threshold of, and the way that we presented it, long into the transition period, which is going to bring us to that place, we have to look at the Nevi'im. We have to look at the prophets who gave us visions for what the world would look like. And I would suggest that instead of looking at the end game, the end product, we actually have to look all the way back at the very beginning, because we know, as Chazal tell us in many different forms and places, Soif Masa B'machshav Tchila, right? The end, it was always embedded in the very beginning. So what we see the Nevi'im describing as the end game must have already been encoded into the mandate that the creator of heaven and earth instilled within the first men, or is the prototype for all men and women, Adam and Chava. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Adam and Chava, Pru'uvu umilu es ha'aretz, which on a simple level, of course, means propagate, fill the world with life. Mishpacha wants the world created, filled with human beings. But al pipnimius on a deeper level, it's possible to suggest that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Adam and Chava, you know what your task is, your role in this world? Is to live in a place of aretz, of artsius, physicality, earthliness, and umilu es aretz, fill it with life. Saturate it. Pru urvu umilu es aretz. Live life in such a way where we can be conscious of the real true reality, and in so doing, enable that reality to emerge. The revelation of the Shekhinah, Hashem's presence. Hashem is not somewhere all the way up in Shemayim. Hashem is here. We can live with Him, enveloped by Him. We can see beyond the facade. We can utilize life not as a barrier to encountering Hashem, but daika through that to engage with Hashem. Every food that we eat, the brachas that we make, the people, and the dynamics, the relationships, and the experiences, and the circumstances, etc., etc., etc. Umilu es ha'aretz. Fascinatingly enough, we jump to the Nevi'im, right, as the other side of Tanakh, and you find over there a very similar expression where they describe the end days as being a period of time when umala ha'aretz deya es Hashem kamayim liyam mechasim. When the earth, again, umilu es ha'aretz, right? The earth will be filled, saturated with the consciousness of Hashem, like water covers the ocean, like a deluge, a flood of awareness, of consciousness, of wakefulness. People should be awake. Mamish awake. And it's impossible, as we look through the Nevi'im, to ignore the fact that very conspicuously, it isn't just about Am Yisrael being awake. So we said before that Pnimius enables a person to look beyond their own egoic or independent or individual personhood and their own engagement with Yiddishkeit. I'll get Olam Haba, or maybe, you know, I won't get punished, or maybe I will, you know, cultivate and develop my own traits. But that's gullus because it's small. That's constricted. That's just on the surface. The Pnimius go deeper. Ah, I'm a neshama. You're a neshama. So what's it, already you're in the realm of the spiritual. Maybe you're just one drop in a huge neshama, in a huge ocean called Am Yisrael. And so here we ask, and this is a little bit the transition, we'll come to the end of the segment. Here we ask us to take the journey to the next level up, which is most of us never do. And I've only begun doing very, very recently, so I know how jarring this can sound. Not only to see ourselves as individuals in the context of Am Yisrael, but to begin to see Am Yisrael in the broader context of humanity, of all the nations of the world. Now, this is not a gullus mindset, because in gullus, first of all, it wasn't shayach. They never let us participate in the way that we're going to learn now, we should have always participated. And it was a time of gullus, the light of Pnimius, the light of broad-mindedness, the light of depth, of seeing a framework, a bigger picture, hadn't fully developed. But currently, at this moment in history, specifically, we just said Tehillim before, what's going on in the world, in this moment, I feel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is demanding of us to think bigger. Demanding of us. What does that mean to think bigger? So I want to read to you, if you'll allow me just a few more minutes, and then we'll open up for questions and everything like this. I want to read to you a Sefarno. Now, this Sefarno shows up in your Makreis Gedolos. It's not a radical source. We're going to quote some radical sources. We'll get there. But here I'm speaking just the Sefarno. It's on your shelf if you have a Makreis Gedolos Chumash. Most of us don't know this. We never learned this. We couldn't even imagine that it existed unless I read it to you. So I'm going to read it to you now. If you want to follow along, you can take a look. It's commentary on Sefer Shemais, Perek Yates, Pasuk Hey. This is a very famous pasuk, and it's a very definitive pasuk, because in it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving our nation what our mandate is. And Hashem says, "V'hiyi semli segula mikol amim, you shall be a treasure from among all the nations, chosen,
kol halashon,
chosen nation. Ki li kol haaretz, the whole earth is mine. Ve'atem tihiyi li mamleches kohanim, and you shall be a kingdom of priests and a holy people." Listen to this, Sepharno. Changed my life. I'm so privileged to be able to share this with you. Says the Sepharno, Hashem says, even though the whole human race is precious to me, beyond all of the other creations in existence, because the whole point of creation was them, meaning the human race. As the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, Chaviv Adam Shenivra V'Tzelem. Should we take a look in the Mefarshim? Of course, it needs to mean humanity, because the next step in the Mishnah is Chaviv Yisrael Shenikru Banim Lamakim, which we'll get to. Mikol Makim Atati Yili Segula Mikulam. But you're going to have a special mission. And that's what the completely revamped definition of chosen is for me, which I was always uncomfortable with. What does this mean, chosen? Or better than everyone else, or what? You know, you can take advantage of systems, chas v'shalom. The silly guy, you just forget them. We'll carry on. That's what oftentimes this particularism can lead to. What does it mean to be chosen? Ki li kol haaretz, listen to this far, v'ahevdel b'neichem b'pachas v'yeser. He says the difference between you and the nation is about pachas v'yeser. It's more or less, give or take. Ki amnam li kol haaretz, because the whole earth is mine, says Hashem. I care about the whole humanity. The chasidi umasa'ilam, which we're going to get through, yikarim etz legali safik. The whole world, all humans are precious to Hashem, the creator who created each human being. But selim elokim are yakar etz legali safik, without a doubt. So what's our special chosenness? What does this mean to be chosen? What does it mean to be a kingdom of priests? Not stam. What does it mean? Well, to be a priest connotes, use the Christian terminology, forgive me, a ministry. It's a Christian-oriented word, but just means to service, to minister on behalf of the lay folk, right? On behalf of the people. That's a kohen. Says the Sepharno, within Am Yisrael, we have a hierarchy of Kohen Levi Yisrael, and the Kehanim have special rules and special laws that require them, mamish, to have their own halachas that don't apply to Am Yisrael, because they're meant to be super hyper conscious. And in so doing, they're supposed to help Am Yisrael recalibrate, connect to their source, understand who they're meant to be, and all of us, whether we're Kohanim or Levim, or like myself, a lowly, humble Yisraeli, we are all Kohanim on behalf of humanity. Unbelievable thing. You'll be the priests of the world. To teach the whole world, not just ethics, morals, v'yashrus, and by proxy, somehow they'll learn good midas, and this is what the Jewish say. No. On a very specific level, to teach. So that those psukim and navi can be materialized, where the whole humanity will gather together, shchem echad, as one group. As will be at the end of days, for whom will the Torah go out from Tzion to the nations of the world? Along this journey of mine, I discovered a very little known thinker who has had I can't even find the word to describe what this did for my Yiddishkeit. A thinker and a Rav and a Dayan by the name of Rabbi Leo ben Amozeg. Rabbi Leo ben Amozeg was the chief rabbi of Lerno, Italy in the 1800s. He came from a Moroccan family, so they had the Sephardic Mesorah. And like his name connotes, Ben Amozeg, the word Amozeg is like mezeg, means to mix, to synthesize. He made it his life's mission to present a Yiddishkeit that is so gula-oriented, that's so Mashiach-minded, it's startling. mamish startling. And he has many, many, many svarim, many svarim. He wrote a pirushim, chumash called the Emla Mikra, very unique. Like an Italian, he was multicultural, just like the Ramchal was, most people don't know, just like the Sepharno was, most people don't know. Very, very integrated into the secular culture, interacting, but in a very orthodox way, in a very firm way. And utilizing his worldly knowledge to defend orthodoxy from Kite. Many, many Sepharim, most of them were written in French. Some of them have been translated. I pretty much have everything and pretty much learned everything that he wrote. I have at home. But his main work is called, in Hebrew, Yisrael ve'enoshut. I'm not going to attempt the French translation or what it was originally, but I'll tell you that in English, it's Israel and humanity. I want to read you a few passages from that. We'll learn a bit from Rav Kook, and then I'll turn it over to everybody else. Okay, and we'll process this together with Hashem's help. I want to read you a few passages here. Bear with me. It's in English. But this changed my life. It almost changed my life. Listen to what he says here. For Judaism, he writes, the world is like a great family, where the father, Hashem, lives in immediate contact with the children who are the different peoples of the earth. But even though Am Yisrael are called Banim Lamakim, it's Yachasit, it's Pachas V'Yeser. In a sense, we're called Bini B'chayri, or the firstborn. But he brings rayas and rayas, and there are many, many proofs that all humans, the whole human race that's created in Salam Alekim is Hashem's children. Among these children, there is a firstborn who, in conformity with ancient institutions, was the priest of the family, charged with executing the father's orders and with replacing him in his absence. It was this firstborn who administered the sacred things, who officiated, instructed, consecrated. This was true historically. In recognition of these services, he received a double portion, right, pishnayim, of the paternal heritage and the consecration or laying on of hands, a kind of religious investiture, where the father would sometimes grant that one of his sons who would be judged most worthy. Such is the Jewish conception of the world. This is so distant from what we're raised with. It's unbelievable. Such is the Jewish conception of the world. In heaven, a single God, father of all men alike. On earth, a family of people, among whom Klal Yisrael is the firstborn, charged with teaching and administering the true religion to mankind of which he is the priest. So what is the goal, right? Because Yiddishkeit is for Jews, right? The Torah is for Jews, in a chanami. But the system of halachas that is specific to the kuhuna within Am Yisrael is just for them. So because we are Kohanim, we have 630 mitzvahs. That is meant, al pi pnimis, to keep us super conscious of Hashem and monotheism and living with emunah, but be'emes, emunah, for real. That's what all the mitzvahs are for. That's what Pnimius HaTorah comes to show us, that it's not just halachas and guidelines and checkboxes and making sure that we're keeping all the chumras. It is for something. What is a mezuzah for? Not just what is a mezuzah and how do you keep that mitzvah properly. What is it? What are tefillin for? What is Shabbos for? What is Chanukah for? And this approach sees all of halacha as essentially, which al pi Kabbalah, this is the way it's presented, al pi Pnimius, is it's an active system of spiritual experience. That's all it is. Lulav, you look in the Ari, you look in the Sfar Makdashim, what it was shaking a lulav dalad meaning. It is teaching embodied in an act. Tefillin, teachings embodied in an act. Tzitzis, Shabbos candles, tefillah, all of it is meant to keep this small segment of humanity, that's the priesthood, hyper-conscious of Hashem. That's the point of it. We've turned it into a culture. Hyper-conscious of Hashem. And then, for everyone else, there are the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. And that's not just a side thing. Sometimes you hear the word Noahide. We're not even sure what it means, but it sounds strange. It sounds Christian. No, what's a Noahide? What's this strange word? Well, like, we don't even know what it is. And the people that are involved in Noahide outreach are plow, I'd say, like, people who couldn't get regular jobs in the firm world, he went to the guy and said, it's a joke. And maybe it's some kind of like side thing. Maybe, you know, but like post, everything we have to take care of, which we'll talk about in our communities, maybe at some point you think about the world. And the way that he's setting it up here is lehabir. He's setting it up that the whole purpose of Torah, the whole purpose of halacha, the whole purpose of Yiddishkeit is so that we should be able to serve as a true Or LaGoyim in a real visceral sense, not just in morals and ethics, but in spirituality. Because that's what the Torah is for, in consciousness, in mindfulness, in depth. I'm going to read you two more passages, and we'll see a little bit from Rav Kook. He writes over here, I'll take you back, I'm just going throughout the book a little bit. He says the most shocking thing. Listen to this. With the exception of doctrines and ethics, there is in fact nothing in Torah which is suitable for a world religion. Nothing. Everything there bears the imprint of the most exclusive particularism. The whole Judaism is so particular. It's so specific to Am Yisrael. One has only to imagine Judaism embraced by everyone and functioning in the completeness of its spirits and institutions to be convinced that it is not a system of worship intended for all people. It just can't be. So numerous and conspicuous would then be the practical impossibilities and anomalies. And it is this, listen to this carefully, which has always deceived and still deceives so many people of good faith to the point that they are able to see in the religion of Klal Yisrael only a purely national religion. That's a mistake. That all Yiddishkeit has to say is just for Yiddin and forget the rest of the world. But they can easily turn from their error if they will accept our invitations to inquire with us whether Judaism does not possess the elements of a universal religion. Where all of the whole humanity can get together. As the Nevi'im tells us, it must. They weren't hippies, the Nevi'im. If we don't believe it, so that we have no hope. You know, the Nevi'im is where we get all of our hope. They told us this would happen. It's not a pipe dream. This must happen. And we can do it. We must. We will. They will then recognize that it indeed contains at its heart, as the flower conceals the fruit, the religion intended for the entire human race, of which the Mosaic law, which is the Torah, which seems on the surface so incomparable with that high destiny, is just the outer cover of it. Because that was just for Am Yisrael, but that doesn't mean that it's particularism for the sake of particularism. Our particularism is for the purpose of enabling us to be Kohanim to all of them, to everyone else, and to recognize in so doing the uniqueness of all the nations. And this is the most ethical and the most moral of all eschatologies, all visions of the end of days than any religion, Lahavdil Elef Havdelis. Because we don't want to convert everybody. They don't have to be Jewish. What we're speaking about now isn't even Judaism. To put a word to it is to limit it. It's called being human. It's called living awake to the realization that Av Echad Likulana, there's one father to us all. And in that sense, I don't need them to change their ways of address. I want the Chinese to stay Chinese. I want the Japanese to stay Japanese. I want the Koreans to stay Koreans. I don't know why I'm choosing all the Asian. I want the Australians to be Australian and everybody else, because from this standpoint, there is such beauty in particularism. But when integrated into a whole structure, like a family or like a body, where each of the limbs does something else. And Am Yisrael, as the Kuzari explains, is the heart. So we're bringing everything together, or at least we're supposed to. So in that sense, Gevalt, the total is something that's absolutely glorious. Absolutely glorious. And that's what the vision is. I was going to read you more. There's so much more to read. But I went well over time. I just want to read just two lines from Rav Kook, and then really I'll turn it over. Number one, Rav Kook was very influenced by Ben Amozeg. At least I have a messer from one of my rabbim, Rav Gerzi, who told me that he knows for sure that Rav Kook's universalism, which was very famous, was an effect of his reading of Ben Amozeg. So Ben Amozeg was really one of the first. There was many others as well. You see, the Sephardim came 200 years earlier, but he was also speaking this language. But Rav Kook says over here, our whole focus in Yiddishkeit, in our own avodah, needs to be for this purpose. It should be about Hashem, not different communities and different minhagim and different all small, so small. It needs to be about Hashem. That's it. There's no leaders. There's no Gedolim. There's no, of course, there are leaders in Gedolim. But the Iker is Kudsh Bericho. That's it. That's it. Mamash. That the whole world, the whole humanity cannot come to its completion. The whole world should be filled with the name of Hashem, like Avram Avinu did. He had all these Bedouins into his tent today. We think he's out of his mind. What is he associating with these lowlives? The whole Indian is that that's what it means to be Avram Avinu. Avhamoid Goyim. Hanefesh Hashasa B'char. And this was the tradition he gave to Yitzchak. And Yitzchak to Yaakov. And Yaakov to the Shvatim. So. Kirak az trucha love adea mitis lias nikbas balev shekol b'nei adam hima achim. That the whole world, our humanity, our brothers, the whole world. And in another place in Oris Yisrael, he says, that it's important for humanity that we all get together as one family. This is our destiny. How different this is from the way that we ordinarily think. That Yiddishkeit is an activated, spiritual, immersive experience, not just a bunch of laws and cultural and communal guidelines. And it's bigger than ourselves as individuals, but it's a whole nation. And we're a part of something so much bigger. And it's messianic. It's mamish. Each of us have a spark of Mashiach. And if we can redeem that and reveal that, and if we can live Yiddishkeit of depth and of light and of dawn and of sunrise and of broad-mindedness and of compassion and sweetness and sensitivity, then we can bring back all of our brethren who are so distant from Yiddishkeit, who are Jews. Overwhelming majority of Yidden don't know that they're Jews. We don't think about it so much because we live in our little communities, very beautiful here in London and in Lakewood and in Muncie and Brooklyn. And we think this is Klal Yisrael. And it's a tiny fraction, not to talk about the 10 lost tribes, but just that, to think bigger. But if we are activated, gewalt, how we could be makar of people. Today we're trying to be makar of them. I work in a kirov scene. We're trying to what are we being makar of them? So we give them lots of trips. And we try to have them speak to very wealthy Jewish businessmen in the thinly veiled, like suggestion that if they become from, they may become very wealthy. And all this stuff, like what are we bringing them to? If we had an activated Yiddishkeit, shuls that were full of life, forget no talking, obviously no talking, but shuls that are mamish bursting with vibrancy and spirituality, mamish, it would be so easy to bring people back. And then, we can serve with this very strong sense of identity to open up to the world at large and to find a way to bring this message to others. That this is what it means to be Am Yisrael. We've never tried this because we're trying to run away from anti-Semitism. So either we tried to assimilate, didn't work, or we tried to particularize and close ourselves in ghettos, didn't work. And we've never stood up with confidence and said, you know something? I actually have something to say to you. I actually love you and care about you. And we have what to offer. And our vision is so broad, but if we can give it to our children, give them the sense of mission that they so thirst for, give all of us the clarity that we're yearning for, I think it might just change the world.
Okay, Yaakov, what a opening. Okay, let's take a poll from everybody here, and then we'll get to some questions. Here we go. Okay, it's a three-question poll. Everybody answer to the best of your ability. Here we go. First question. What is your definition of waiting for Mashiach? What does that mean for you, waiting for Mashiach? It means always doubting for it. I just know that he'll come someday. When there's Tzaras and Klal Yisrael, it reminds me that he's coming. I really don't think about it much. Second question. Being that we're in a generation before Mashiach comes, what do you think our avoid is? A, go out and spread Yiddishkeit to the Goyim, to not Jews. B, spread Yiddishkeit to the Jews. C, no difference. Continue the work I'm doing till now. Or option D, fix myself and the people around me. Third question. When and how do you connect to the deeper levels of Torah, Panimus HaTorah? A, when I learn a Daven. B, when I meditate and I think about God on a deeper level. C, singing and dancing, making things feel happy. Or D, for bringing and learning Hasidus. Okay, answer those three, and then we will share the results. then we'll go to questions. Again, anybody who's here tonight, you have perfect time. Who's up very early? Ask him any question you want. Five more seconds. Okay, here we go. What's your definition of waiting for Mashiach? Sir Yaakov, 53% of people means davening for Mashiach. 36% of people mean just they know he's coming someday. 7% when the Tzaras of Klal Yisrael reminds me of Mashiach. And only 4% don't really think about it much. Seems like most people are going with davening for it or just knowing that it's going to come someday. Anything to say on that, Paul?
I think it's beautiful and it's to be expected. I mean, I would have added another question or another option, which is play an active role, right? Because now that we've defined Mashiach in a different way, we recognize that it's, you can do much more than daven for it or know that
you're
not really.
I guess that's the second question. I guess that's a little bit the second question. Being we're in the generation before Mashiach, what do you think is our avodah? So 0% believe it's to go spread Yiddishkeit to the Goyim. 35% of people believe it's spread Yiddishkeit to the Yidden. 12% says makes no difference between what I'm doing till now. Most people believe here is the avoid is to fix myself and the people around me.
It's a new idea. New idea.
I know. I would also, it is a very new idea. It takes a lot of thinking and we. We possess it. We're not suggesting spreading Yiddishkeit by the Goyim. Yeah, we have to clarify that that's not the Inyan. Just to clarify. The idea is that an activated Am Yisrael have a message to bring to the entire world that isn't Yiddishkeit per se. But it's the realization that we're all in this together as humans and that we're all part of one unit. And that's something else. I think that's something else. And I would also point out just to fix myself and the people around me in terms of Yiddishkeit, which is the ultimate program for self-development, based on the way that we're presenting it, it's like these two things are one because the way that we've outlined it and laid it out, hopefully in a clear way, Siyata Shmaya, is that these two things are inextricably connected. Fixing ourselves and getting into Yiddishkeit in the way that Yiddishkeit is opening the door and allowing us to access the deeper layers of living in this world, what it means to be a person, what it means to have relationships, what a marriage is, what parents and children are, what that is in and of itself helping us become the Kohanim that we ought to be able to show up in the world filled with light. And so I don't see those two things as really being separate. If we're fixing ourselves and people around us properly as Yiddin, in the Mela, we're spreading light to the Umas Ha'olam, whether passively or actively, but at least that should be our framework, which changes everything.
The last question we ask people is when and how do you connect in deeper levels of Torah? 40% of people feel when they learn in Daven, 34% when they meditate, they think about Hashem. Only 4% of people just run around the streets happy and singing. And 22% of people are bringing and learning Chassidus.
In terms of the third option, you may as well put, like putting puzzles together or like going to the gym. I don't know what that has to do with Pnimius, but okay. Could be a misconception or people's vision of it. I don't know. But certainly davening, certainly. But I don't either think that the question is understood here because it requires us to understand what Pnimius is. The way that we've described it is not just a connection to Hashem, which is just that's holy, that's gewalt. But Pnimius can actually shift what our definition of Hashem is. Like, how do you know that the Hashem that you're davening to is quote unquote the proper definition or perception of Hashem that you ought to be connecting with at this stage in your life? Rabbi Nachman famously told the Maskilim, the enlightened Jews that he was sitting with and playing chess with, actually, to speak about children's games, that he would sit and play chess with, Rabbi Nachman once told him a very sharp thing. He said, the God that you don't believe in, I don't either believe in. Say that again. He told these people, atheists, heretics, that the God you don't believe in, I agree. I couldn't either believe in that God. Because you see, the whole thing comes down to darshanut. It comes down to dar v'dosha, how you darshan God. And so Pnimius Satira opens up brand new avenues of conception of what this thing is God. Is it what you grew up with in like third grade? But what is this thing God? What is this thing Shabbos? What is this thing tefillin, tzitzis for the men, for the women? What is tefillah in and of its own? What are Shabbos candles? The depth of that. How that could potentially be, again, a teaching embodied, which actually changes us. I mean, it actually has an impact on the way that we view every single waking moment of life. Unbelievable. You know, so just to clarify, the way that we're presenting it, you know, learning and davening is beautiful, but we're suggesting here that going beyond the surface can actually avail us brand new definitions or appreciations for what it is that we're doing.
So where would one start? So where would one start with that? These ideas, learning about Hashem for beginners, and to actually feel.
Yeah, it's an excellent question. It's an excellent question. I think by hook or by crook, all of us have already started. All of us, especially those who are on this group, because you and I know that our approach to Yiddishkeit is not the same as our grandparents, great grandparents was. Our perception of Hashem has shifted, whether it's because you learned it in a sefer or whether it's because you're going through mental health challenges and you've had to work through those things, which hopefully we'll have time to address because that's the essence of this group. But you know that old conception has been shattered a long time ago. How to engage with that process? I'm very biased because I've humbly put out a lot of content, which I obviously believe is useful and good. And so if anything here is resonating or in this style, many, many hundreds of Shir and Baruch Hashem online, and a number of books and different things, that's hopefully an accessible way in. But there are any one of thousands of ways in, different ways, like I mentioned before, which will speak to different neshamos, as it must, because every single person is unique. But generally speaking, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent the Baal Shem Tov to the world, he was enabling us to take the ideas of the Arizal and bring them down to earth in such a way where it's so, so practical and so fundamentally implementable. That's a word. And so anything that's flowing from that base measures, anything that enables us to take a deeper look. If you're into Hebrew Sfarim, I highly recommend the Sfarim of Rav Kluger, Rav Avraham Tzvi Kluger. It's unique in his methodology. He's written a ton. There's the Sfarim called Tal Aleichayim from the Chalban. There's a sefer called Sifsei Chayin. I'm happy to give a whole reading list to anybody who wants in both Hebrew and in English. But this, there is a chelik of Torah that we, by and large, are not teaching our children, and it's to our detriment. And so I want to speak about that also, if I can. It's to our detriment because something's happening with the youth. We can't ignore it. Something's happening with the youth. We'll speak about it now once I mentioned it. Mashu kore. Like across the board, something's happening. And on the one hand, it's no chutzpah yaski. It's the worst generation of all. And these kids with their short attention spans and their TikToks and their rebelliousness and their access to all kinds of things and who knows what. And that's al pi pshat. That's on the surface, in echanami, on the simple level. But you have to go to the realm of Pnimius HaTorah to have a deeper understanding. Says Rav Kook, unequivocally, Rav Kook was like his name, Kook in Yiddish means to look. Even his Rosh HaTevis, Rav Avram Yitzchak HaKohen spelled Ra'ayah, which means the seer. He was a visionary. I mean, he saw so far beyond anybody at that time that they thought he was nuts. Because from their standpoint, maybe he was looking way too into the future. But Rav Kook had this vision. And Rav Kook says, are you kidding? He says, these kids that were losing are the best neshamas we have. They're not rebelling. He says these are the chevra that are actually being conformative to their own neshamas, which is telling them we need something bigger. We need something more. We need something deeper. And what exists currently, it's not enough. So he says these neshamas, which he calls neshamas detoyu, they come from a very high spiritual world where either they go through things and they have experiences, or increasingly they just, they're looking for something that they aren't getting. They aren't getting, and they don't get it by us. They don't get it out there either. So many of them come back and they find their way back in through the alternative paths. It's like Hasidus and Breslev and Chabad, and they find their way back. But it speaks to a very, very deep need that our children are thirsting for something so big and something so incredibly deep. And I'm just reminded of a mashal. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky told somebody who came to him, he said, listen, Yiddishkeit is choking me. Sometimes we feel like the whole thing, the restrictions and the laws and halachas, choking me. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky looked at him, and it actually touches on what we said earlier about definitions. He said, imagine a person has a 3-year-old son. Comes time for the upsharing. Some have minik to do upsharing. In our family, we have upsharing. And you buy him a tiny little pair of tzitzis, cute little tzitzis, and maybe it has like a little choo-choo train or something on it, or the aleph bays. And it fits. It's perfect because he's 3 and it's a small pair of tzitzis. He says, as the child grows from 3 to 4, 4 to 5, especially those years when kids grow, at least physically and emotionally in so many ways, it's humbling to see how much a kid changes in a year, and we like sort of stay the same at best, you know, but they develop. He says, as the years go on, the parents have to upgrade the tzitzis, because if the kid is 7 years old and he's still wearing the same pair of tzitzis that he got by his upsharing, it's going to choke him because his body's bigger. And need something bigger. And so oftentimes we look around at today's generation. I see, because I do it. I mean, this is my job. I literally go around to schools across the entire UK, which most Americans don't even think about. This place we were speaking before I got on. It's like it doesn't even exist in this universe, the British Isles, like UK. Where is it? What is it? But I'm telling you, it's a real place. I'm sitting in it, and I go around to these communities. And I see, and I sit with teenagers, and I get a privilege to teach them and journey with them. I'm telling you, as the thing that I say again and again and again, Anachnu Dar Mitsuyan. This is a wondrous generation, just to fit back into the title, right? I think we've now spoken about all parts of the title, right? Is Mashiach already here? Dawn, the dawn of the redemption. Pnimis HaTaira, Jewish universalism, this bigger picture. And the mission of our wondrous generation, it is wondrous. There's never been a generation like ours that's willing to go so deep and really demanding the depth of everything. And that's what's going on with our kids. And we were able to modify the education system. I know this sounds radical, but it's chayav. Like, we don't have a choice. We don't have a choice. And that is our Messiah, right? Our Messiah is to adapt. That is our Messiah. Our Messiah is to give people what they're looking for. If we can change our systems so that, in addition to the Gemara and the Halacha, which is of paramount importance, our children are also getting a good grounding in Yiddishkeit. Like, where do we teach them Yiddishkeit? The deeper meanings of the mitzvahs. Jewish identity, to give them a sense of mission. Our kids have no sense of mission. They don't know what it is to be a Jew. You ask them, you stop them. What it is? Zero. So why should they be passionate about something? They have no vision in the world. And we could give it to them. It's so easy. It's so easy. Imagine if we would raise our kids from a young age, instead of thinking about all the goyim as Tommy Treif, and there's nothing good in them, chas v'shalom, and which develops terrible, terrible midas. Forget anything else. But the midas that it develops, and the perspectives that it develops on the outside world, which backfire, by the way, because in today's generation, they have access to everything anyway. So 10 years down the line, it's going to become readily apparent to them that it just wasn't true. They're very beautiful goyim. They're very wise and deep and sensitive goyim, particularly people who are on the mental health journey. Sometimes it's confounding how Judaism didn't give us what we needed in this space. We have to go to mindfulness, and we have to go to, you know, to secular modalities, which are all spirituality based. We'll get to that in a minute. But we go there, and it's like, it's jarring. How did this fit? But if we can give our kids a strong sense of self in this regard, to be able very powerfully to recognize that we don't have to play defense all day. That was gullus. We played defense. We need to play offense. It's not a joke. We have a global platform today. We have a nation in Eretz Yisrael. It's a Jewish state. We can have a place on the world stage. We can give our kids this sense of mission to recognize what it is to be B'nai Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, not an Ashkenazi or a Sephardi or in town or out of town or this minig or that minig, but to be Yidden, to be Mamish Yidden who are on fire with Hashem, with a sense of mission to the world. If we can bring that into the education system, oh my gosh, would that change things? Oh my gosh, would that enable our teenagers to avoid so much of the pain that they suffer that's the result of ignorance or misconception, which I suffered as a teenager. I went through a very difficult time because my perception of Hashem was so limited, like my upsharing. And I thought that Hashem is just this punishing being who's just, you know, demanding of me this, that, and the other thing. I had no theology of failure or of sin, which is basic to the human experience. I had no theology of the nations of the world, certainly not, only until very recently. I didn't have these paradigms. And so what was I to do? And it was difficult. It was very, very difficult. I had to battle for every inch of emuna that I have. Battled for it, cried over it. This is my life, Chavra. I live for this. We live for this. And if we were able to give this to our children, and we have the texts, and we have what to teach, and we have the methodologies, We can activate and we can come out of this small state that we're in now. I don't mean the state like Israel, maybe that too, but we come out of this small place and we can mamish do something. We mamish must. It's playing offense. And like the halachic principle in Hilchas Melicha, whatever, when blood goes out, so then at the same time, blood can't be going in. You know, if we empowered ourselves to really get it clear in our kids what their mission is, and that in their proper way, they had initiatives where they were reaching out, where they had the particularism for the universalism. But we figured out a way to do that, actively, passively, a lot to talk about there, halachically, what to teach, how to teach, and so on. But there are thousands of Noahides, right? There are thousands of people that are thirsty for Am Yisrael to recognize them, to give them something, that they should be allies.
Rabbi Klein,
we're not taking it seriously in that sense.
Okay, Rabbi Klein, let's go. There's people want to ask questions. Let's jump into it, okay?
Sure, let's.
Hi, how are you?
Thank you. I was just thinking, Revolva talks about this concept of frumkeit, where people can end up being drawn to like an exciting spiritual feeling in Yiddishkeit, but then not remember that it's about Hashem and connecting to Hashem. How do we navigate that, make sure that we're for ourselves, that we're, you know, approaching this right, and also as we're, you know, trying to bring other people into Yiddishkeit, to keep it about Hashem and not, you know, make it about the spiritual feeling that could sometimes be, you know, like this frumkeit that Revolva is describing.
Right. Without having seen the Revolva inside, it's very difficult to address something. I don't know what you're quoting. I don't know what context he's saying it, but generally speaking, this is also one of the misconceptions that sometimes, like for some reason, we became allergic to spiritual feelings. We're very, very skeptical of them. Very skeptical. It's crazy. We become mamish. Like if a person's feeling a bit too spiritual, it's like, well, something's off. Something's weird. It's probably sheker. We're not sure where this came from. You know, Yiddishkeit is meant to be Rachmana Livavai. Hashem wants your heart. How are you supposed to know if your heart is in it if you don't feel it? Like, we have emotions. We're supposed to feel something and it's beautiful. And if it's in the context of halacha, and if it's the context of our Masorah and through our mitzvahs and through our tzaddikim, we're guiding this process, like I mentioned before, from the Rashbi through to the Ari, through to the Baal Shem, through to Rabbi Nachman and others in each generational era. So then gewalt, you know, like it's so beautiful. And how much more do we risk? How much more do we risk by playing it safe and making sure that we've excised any experience of spirituality from our Yiddishkeit just because you never know? But at the same time, like the way that we're presenting the whole point of halacha, the whole point of the mitzvahs is that we should feel something. We just linked Chazon Yeshayahu in the beginning over there. If he didn't say it, we couldn't dare say it to criticize from Yidden. I mean, what our Nevi'im said about us, the Christians and the Muslims, could never even begin to say. Right? Our Nevi'im were the biggest critics. If we can't be self-aware, so we'll never grow, we'll never change. We have to grow and we have to change. And Yeshayahu Navi said this point, Bisvas of Kibduni, he said, we're saying all the right words. We were bringing karbanas. We were being from Amish. But the Libam Richak Mimani. But there was a certain part of ourselves that was locked away. there was a certain vulnerability that we weren't mamish bringing in to the space of Yiddishkeit. And that's what the invitation is today. That's what the Tzav HaShah, the call of the hour, is today, in a careful, guided, measured, balanced way. And that's the ikar point of this whole thing. Rav Menachem, what a sweet Jew. I don't know who you are, but it's great to speak to you, is synthesis. That's everything we've been speaking today is about synthesis, right? We've spoken about halacha and pnimius. We've spoken about Gemara and Agada, and everything that contains pnimius, satar, whatever form. We've spoken about particularism as a nation and universalism, and both concur. They're not separate from one another. There are just layers upon layers upon layers of one thing. And so the same is true over here. We need both. We are B'nai Yaakov, not B'nai Avram or B'nai Yitzchak. Yaakov Avinu, Alpi Kabbalah, Alpi Pnimis, is the synthesis of Avram and Yitzchak. Avram is Chesed on one side. It gives rise to the Muslims through Yishmael. Yitzchak is Gvura, which gives rise to the Christians through Esav of Rome. It's very, very deep. Yaakov Avinu is Tiferes, the synthesis of all. And Yaakov Avinu is also Emes, which I say so frequently in Shirin. Emes is the letters Aleph, which is the first letter of the Aleph Beis. Tav, which is the last letter of the Aleph Beis. And Mem in the middle. That's what Emes means. Titen Emes Liyakov. What does that mean? It means that Emes is synthesis. Anything that's too much to one extreme, if it's too Kabbalah spirituality heavy, it's not going to happen. If it's too Halacha heavy, which is the crisis that we're in now, it's not going to happen. It's not happening. Something's missing. And so the sweet spot is to figure out not just how to incorporate both elements, but to realize they are one. That's what synthesis means. Not two, they are one. And that's what I'm arguing for in the context of Jewish particularism and universalism. These are not two separate things where we have to focus on hidden and also at some point bring it to the gun. We have to recognize there's a systematic way of viewing this wherein these are two layers of the same thing. And so that's crucial. Balance is crucial. Humility is crucial. Shem Hashem Shagar Befino. It has to be about Hashem. A lot of times you see groups that get very excited about leaders and they make the leaders the main thing. It's true in Breslov. It's true in Chabad. It's true in many other places. And it's become true in the Litvisha world also. They've taken the worst Hasidah, so to speak, and they've turned it into and we're forgetting. We're forgetting the main thing.
It's amazing what you discussed till now, and I'm starting to feel already. I think some people have it a hard time just because it's new. Question is how. I just want to, maybe we can back up a little bit. You mentioned that Hashem is compelling us to wake up to a deeper awareness. Maybe we can stop for a moment, to how to make it practical, to understand the idea a little bit better for those beginners.
We're all beginners. I call myself a professional beginner. That's it. I just begin again and again and again. Yeah. We're all beginners here. We're all beginners. I believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pushing us to this by hook or by crook, whether we like it or not. And we're either going to actively engage with it l'chatchila or chas v'shalom, the opposite. And one of the ways I already mentioned, which is I think our youth are demanding something more of us. And like the hechrich, we see that there's a tremendous, tremendous yearning on the part of the younger generation for a Yiddishkeit that's really authentic, really sincere. If it's not, doesn't happen. And they can pick up on it. They're very sensitive to it. It there's a very beautiful line. I can't remember where it comes from. I'm sure some of you know where this is from. They say Yiddishkeit is not taught. It's caught. You don't teach Yiddishkeit. The student catches it, like it's caught, right? Like a sickness, kibyachal, the opposite of that, right? It's you need to be a person who's exuding Yiddishkeit. Mamish, right, exactly. A contagious. So people, we need teachers who are lit, who are mamish feeling it, and then they're able to just overflow in such a beautiful way. And so our students are your
many adults are many adults are the kids that you're talking about. And maybe
yes,
from the outside,
yes, that's true.
Maybe from the outside, they're doing the right thing, but there's something inside.
That's right. Most of us are like that. As if we're thinking, most of us are like that. The thing is that we're so asleep that we don't even realize how asleep we are. That Rabbi Nachman calls that hastara, shebisoicha hastara. where it's not just that Hashem is hidden from us. It's we're so, Hashem is so concealed that the fact that Hashem is hidden from us is hidden from us. We think like, you know, Olam Kemenhagay Nayeg. There's a famous video, Lahavdil Elf Avdelis, just it comes to mind, of a Jew, a Meshomet, a person never who went to Christianity, and he became one of these Jews for guys, and he came to the Lubavitch Rebbe, and he's trying to proselytize to the Rebbe. That's like a crazy thing. He's coming to the Tzaddik Adar, you know, to the Lubavitch Rebbe, is trying to tell him, and the Lubavitch Rebbe tells him, it's very, you know, broken Russian, heavy Russian English. He tells him, he says, this that you don't know that you're sick shows us how sick you really are, you know? And so Gavald, like so many of us think that like, this is it. We're just sort of hanging out until Mashiach comes. That's it. And it's like Chevron, you know, in context of what the Lechatchila could look like for education, what the Lechatchila could look like for a shul, what the Lechatchila could look like for our interpersonal relationships, for our mental health, which I'm going to get to in a minute, for what a marriage could be, for what our families could look like. Mamish, what Yiddishkeit could be, we're schluffing. And that's what Rabbi Nachman said. He said, the world tells stories to put people to sleep. He said, I tell stories to wake people up. Rabbi Nachman's stories wake people up. I know it sounds strange. They wake people up. Now, who was he talking to? It wasn't a vekker, you know, like a mashgiach walking around waking people up by telling them stories. That's not what he meant. He meant that you could be awake. And chas v'shalom, we could be sleeping. And so that's the inyan of Chassidus, is to really wake us up by broadening our horizons and helping us recognize what's out there. What Yiddishkeit could look like, what our tefillah could be, what Hashem could be for us, and how to sort of begin to enter into higher levels of consciousness. So that's on the one thing. I think there's a gewaltige thirst on the part of the youth, and like you're mentioning, the young at heart, which is all of us, right? That all of us are looking for something. All of us are looking. But I'd say the other thing, and this is perhaps most apropos, for this esteemed gathering is the issue of mental health. For one reason or another, and this is a big sugya, that's why I'm hesitating in terms of, you know, how to approach it. For one reason or another, we are struggling today in ways that you didn't struggle with earlier, or we weren't as open about, or vocal about. People are suffering. One of my closest friends in the world runs an organization here, or is part of an organization, but very high up here in the UK. And I know that you have the same thing in Liquid and the same thing in, I think in Toronto, called Relief. Yeah, I'm sure you've heard of it. I get to see through him in ways, or he gets to see, and he doesn't tell me pratim, obviously. He tells me just begadol, what's actually going on. It's wild that on the surface we put on this nice little mask. Here he comes to shul. You got to make a few lechaims with the kiddush. How's the family? How's the wife? Going up to the Catskills. What's going on is lo yuman. I mean, it's not to be believed. The levels of abuse and the levels of depression and anxiety and stress and confusion and in all of its varied formats is shocking. Is shocking. And on the one hand, it's a curse because my goodness, right? And on the other hand, it's a huge, huge blessing. Because one of my favorite psukim in Tehillim is the pasuk where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Tashev Enosh Ad Daka. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you push the human being Ad Daka, which means into like a lowly state. But Chazal Darshan, the word, we spoke about Darshaning, Chazal interpret the word Daka to mean Dichducha Shel Nefesh, which means like a low emotive feeling into a state of a mental health crisis. Dichducha shel nefesh, darkness, sadness, you know, anxiety, debilitating states of mind. Hashem, you push us into that. You know what the last two words in this pasuk are? The last three words, Vatayomer. And in so doing, you say, Shuvu b'nei adam. Four words. Sorry. I told you my math is not good. I can't be held on the math stuff. Okay. But there are four words at the end of that puzzle. But Shuvu b'nei Adam, Hashem says, okay, good. Now you're ready to come back. in a certain very deep sense, very deep, what we didn't open up to in the spiritual realm, by taking hold of what Hashem was giving us through the tzaddikim of Pnimius to help us see things in a deeper way, to help us see ourselves in a deeper way, to help us be more sensitive to others and see other people in a sensitive way, to be able to understand the compassion of Hashem. That's all it is. The whole Torah of Kabbalah of Hasidus is compassion. It shows us how close Hashem is to all of us. Hashem is Memalakol Alman. He fills all the worlds. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here with us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking the whole world to Geula. And that's what the Torah of Pnimius is. We didn't get it that way. But you know how we are getting it? In the therapist chair. Or in breathwork groups. Or in plant substance ceremonies. By Goyim. In Amazon. Or in Kiryas Yael, or in Manchester, where I know personally that all this stuff is happening. And it's not happening in a small little way. It is happening in major ways. And it's not just the people that Rabbanim are sending people to do a plant medicine, you know, which is psychedelics or plant medicine. The Rabbanim are going. Okay, I know all of this firsthand from many different ways. So we're not getting it through the Torah. And it's like Yiddishkeit couldn't heal us. Well, the way that we were engaging with Yiddishkeit couldn't heal us. And on the contrary, it might actually have been exacerbating the issues. But what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing for us is that he's forcing us into spirituality one way or another. You spoke before spiritual feelings. Yeah, if you go to a men's workshop in somewhere in Tekoa, you know, If you're going to something where people are having sharing circles, you know, and really opening up maybe for the first time in their lives, and you go to people who are doing holotropic breath work, if some of you are familiar, and are howling like beasts who are accessing deeper levels of consciousness, working through traumas, you know, don't say, how do we know the spirituality is real? Maybe, I don't know. You know, so, what do you mean? I go to Sparkles, opening us up, forcing us into big, big compassionate ways of thinking. And this is a thing that's happening. And it's beautiful because in a certain sense, this is also the R of Mashiach. Because the R of Mashiach has to do with humility. Ani roichev al chamar. The whole thing of David HaMelech is humble. Is David HaMelech is tzamal chamashi. We spoke before about a thirsting generation, a searching generation. This is what it means, the Dar of Mashiach. To be vulnerable, not to be strong and mighty, but to show up with our vulnerability. But for real, to be emes. To finally be emes, but for real. To drop the masks. This is what it means. Evin ma'asu aboinim hoysel reshpina. The stone that was despised. The stone that looked at itself with self-loathing like so many of us do in our generation. The stone that's full of shame like so many of us are in this generation. The stone that was despised. Hoysel reshpina. Ah, that's the good stuff. That's the good stuff. Eishas chayil that becomes a teres bala. This is the whole thing of David HaMelech, the whole divinic dynasty from David all the way back up, if you trace it back up, Boaz and Rus, all the way back up, Yehuda and Tamar, all the way back up, Lot and his daughters. These were very dubious relationships. And that's the Davidic dynasty, as Reb Tzadok HaKohen and the Ishbitzer and so many of the tzaddikim tell us so clearly, and I wrote about it in my book, The Story of Our Lives, chapter 16 and 17. The whole thing is the product of what looked, at least the Chitzonius, to be sinful, or the better word is dubious. And it required people to have to work through their stuff. And that's our dar. And so Hashem is pushing us into this, again, one way or another.
Let's go to another question. Is that okay?
Sure. I'm sorry.
You're on.
Yeah, ask my wife. This is bad. You should ask my wife. My never-ending rants. But carry on, please.
Yes, hi, Rick Klein. First of all, I just want to say that your series on I Follow You in Eilecha and the series of Yichidus Brothers is like the best therapy ever. It's like the most soothing balm to my soul. I loved it, and I keep referring back to it. And you also put out a clip a while ago when your son was born about your experience in the hospital and, you know, talking about the plot and the subplot, and I saved that clip and I spread it to people, and it's been life-changing. So first of all, thank you for all of that. Okay, so you might have answered my question or come close to it, but I'm gonna ask anyway because I want to be a little more specific. So since we know that every kind of kedusha and every high aspiration has, you know, an opposite power in the lower spheres, and as you mentioned, the thirst and the search in this generation is the depth and the loving connection to Hashem, like from the deepest part of our soul. And the other side of that, I feel like is like, you know, at best an apathy. At worst, it's, you know, a desperate escape from reality and, you know, not wanting to be connected. And I feel like this is becoming more and more widespread, like almost like a virus, like, you know, among Yidden. What questions or words could somebody say to a person? What conversation could we open up with someone who's fighting that kind of Yetzer Hara, especially, you know, as parents or just as fellow Jews, when we feel like somebody is fighting that kind of apathy or not, you know, not being able to become connected. And also, as you mentioned, like, I also feel like, you know, these neshamas that are escaping are probably capable of the highest levels. And it's just that such an opposing force. You know, what could we do? What could we say to them that could possibly like just flick the switch in the opposite direction?
First of all, thank you so much for your kind words, Baruch Hashem. It's a huge chus to do this work, and we're all in it together. It's not, there's no teacher or student. It's just we're on this journey together, mamish. So what a privilege. Like I mentioned before, it's very difficult to give specific guidance with regard to a general thing. Meaning every person is so case specific. Every kid is so case specific, every family dynamic. There's so much that goes into it. So it's really difficult to say. I think generally speaking, like we said before, Yiddishkeit caught, not taught, is that when we as parents live a Yiddishkeit that's broad and that's compassionate and that's alive and that's deep and sensitive and has, like I mentioned in passing before, don't have time now to really get into every single detail and flesh it out, you know, but a theology of failure, where it's okay to make mistakes, that's okay. And Mirosh, it's understood that this is the expectation of life, and it's fine. And that there's love and support, chas v'shalom, no shame. Good shame, healthy shame, chas v'shalom, no toxic shaming. You know, but just being there, and I think giving kids a little bit to start this language of mission, like I've been mentioning, can really help people start to perk up. I'm telling you, I speak in high schools. I go around. These kids have never heard anything, not even close to this. Most adults haven't, but the kids certainly haven't. And when you fire them up, I mean, who doesn't want to be part of an army? Who doesn't want to have clarity in terms of their identity? So one thing that this generation is struggling more with in millions of ways than others, one in a very conspicuous sense, which is also a sugya, is no one knows what their identity is anymore today. People are desperate for identity. And we can give them an identity that's well-founded in a system of love and of depth and of clarity and of compassion and of relevance, like we mentioned before, but to say something that's relevant to our generation, I think we have a shot. And so it's a matter of being humble and inviting them in to partner with us in this much broader thing than just, I'm the parent, you're the kid. I'm the teacher, you're the student. It's like, wait, we're all Yidden before Hashem. We're all humans. We're just trying to figure this thing out. None of us have the truth. Ultimately, what do we know? You know, we try. We try the best that we can. We stumble around this world of Hester, and we're Mevakshe Hashem and Yismach Lev, and we're so joyous about it. I think that lays the foundation and the groundwork, hopefully, for a peaking of interest. And then once the door is open, you can start to learn the deeper teachings with them. You can start to learn Rabbi Nachman's stories. You can start to learn, you know, my first book, the Story of Our Lives, is a commentary on the first story of Rabbi Nachman, The Lost Princess. Right? So there's really a textbook of this whole approach. You can go through it. It's age appropriate for different ages. It's a story. My kid knows the story, Shmuel, backwards and forwards. He's heard it tens of times, and he still wants to listen to it. And as they grow older, you reveal deeper levels, deeper elements. And so hopefully with a lot of davening and a lot of siyata d'shmaya and a lot of humility and openness and willingness to feel and to be honest about our own failures, our own struggles, our own. So hopefully that can have a positive impact.
Thank you so much.
My sister-in-law tells me, she lives in Cleveland, that she just finished the book, Story of Our Lives. She learns it every Shabbos morning with like a group of ladies. They got a,
wow, beautiful.
They just made a siyam on it.
Amazing. Particularly of mine, but of other people also good. I'm kidding.
Hi, sir.
Hi. Hi, Rabbi Klein. I think you might have already answered my questions about, you know, avoiding extremes, but I, you know, during that survey when it mentioned that you want to fix myself and others around me, I just kind of like tensed up with the thought of fixing others around me. that shouldn't the focus just be really on ourselves? I mean, when I, or, you know, I mean, people can share my enthusiasm for Mashiach, but at the point of trying to push it on them, I don't know to what extent it's how to maintain certain boundaries or certain finesse. That was one question. The other question I just had is, or maybe it's related, just I'm maybe, you know, looking at all events in the world right now, and I can't help escaping this doom. I can't seem to escape the doomsday, excuse me, doomsday kind of mode of thinking. I don't know if I want to really, you know, integrate that into any talk of Mashiach, but, you know, and I live for Mashiach, really, I do. I pray, you know, on the thing I wrote, I daven, you know, for Mashiach, but at what point do we, you know, I mean, practice a certain restraint, I guess, you know, I don't want to be, you know, I don't end up like a fanatic worrying about everybody else's level of observance. I really should just worry about my own, but should I get into, you know, I don't know, how do I avoid negativity, just seeing so much that happening in the world?
Sure.
Two kind of interrelated questions.
First of all, I would agree with you.
Yeah.
Sure. Sure. I mean, I would first agree with on the fixing others. It's not an akuda of fixing. That's not the point. We fix ourselves. We can fix ourselves. But it's an invitation into a gift, into a realm that's a gift, into a way of living that's more beautiful, that's deeper. And it's something that you have that you're excited to share with others. It's not a matter of fixing or judging or saying if they don't have it, they're somewhere else. It's just overflowing with love. That's it. We are overflowing with love for Yiddishkeit. We want everyone to have it. We want everyone to taste it. And first, we have to get into a Yiddishkeit that we actually love. We can't pretend to love it. And if we don't love it, what I'm suggesting is that it's not actually Yiddishkeit we don't love, but it's our current very small frameworks of Yiddishkeit that can be shed. Life is too repushed, sir. You can put it on, you can take it off. You can go to bigger levels. And that's what our souls are yearning for. That's the suggestion here, in addition to many other points. With regard to the pessimism, and with regard to the, like you say, the doomsday, it is so crucial to remember that if we are nothing else, and we've said a lot of things about what we might be as a Jewish nation tonight, if we are nothing else, we are not a nation of hope, but the nation of hope. And the way to know this is because, like somebody else mentioned earlier, Hashem creates the whole system in a system of parallels. Zeh le'umas zeh. There's always a system of parallels. What exists in the realm of Kedusha also exists in the realm of the opposite. Who is the parallel of the Jewish nation in this grand scheme of history? Mm-hmm. Who is the foil for our nation? Mm-hmm. And the answer, of course, is Amalek. Mm-hmm. About what we are. What we know about Amalek is that Am Yisrael were literally coming from the chains, from slavery, from the bondage of Mitzrayim, and we were on our way to Sinai. Which, unless if we hadn't done the Chet Egel, from that standpoint, it was Sinai, into Yerushalayim, building an eternal Beis HaMikdash, fixing the world, right? That's it. That's the way that it was. And Amalek comes, Ashakorcho Baderech. As we're journeying toward that place, Amalek comes. And that means to say that what Amalek is, in its essence, is hopelessness, despair. The idea that wherever you're trying to get is impossible to reach. Give up. Stop the journey midway. There's nowhere to go. That's what Amalek is. And the word karcha, which on a simple level in Hebrew means happened upon, those who know the story of our lives will remember this from the first chapter, right? The Indian of Asher karcha doesn't just mean that they happened upon you along the way, but the Hebrew word for cold is kar. Asher karcha baderech. They came to cool us off along the way.
Kol HaLashon.
What we're facing today as a nation of hope, facing Chas V'Shalom eradication, a world that hates us, a world that isn't interested, a world that's going to the dogs in so many billions of ways. If we give into that, that's allowing Amalek to snuff out our flame when the world needs it most. When the world needs it most. And so that's our responsibility in a hopeless world is to find the strength and the vision within to be the hope. B'makom she'en ish, hishtav elios ish. Find a way not to give up. And that was Rabbi Nachman. That's the depth of Pnimius HaTorah, which, like we said, is the dawn sunlight, the opposite of cold, like, you know, freezing cold, the dawn, light, vibrancy, illumination, warmth. That's what it is, not to give up. And that's where Rabbi Nachman was. He said, after him, there's no new revelations until Mashiach comes. Ha'esh Shali said, my fire will burn until Mashiach comes. That was the last revelation. What's the last revelation? There can't be a revelation beyond that, right? The ultimate gilui of Hashem's compassion is that do not despair. And we need that today more than ever. And that's why I think that this Zoom happening right now in the midst of a world that you talk about, the Umas Ha'olam, it's like, give me a break. You know, maybe you spoke about this when who knows what, some much more beautiful time. And I say, Adarabba. Mm-hmm. On the contrary, Imloy Achshav Emasai. If not now, when? Mm-hmm. So keep the flame, keep the hope. Now we need it more than ever.
Thank you.
Rabbi Klein, let's go to the next question. You're on.
Sure.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Rabbi Klein, for this inspirational, beautiful talk, a lot to process. Thank you for the platform. It seems to me that this is a form of knowing our role in the world, and in the world of right now, today, working on ourselves, modeling for those around us. It seems like a very slow, gentle process, not this rah-rah kind of we're out to change the world. From my little child, I used to be very excited at the part of Rosh Hashanah davening where it talks about, I'm going to say it in a Hasidish way, Vayisui, you know, the world is going to come together. I remember, you know, barely, you know, being able to read the translation. It always excited me. And then over the years, I got, you know, cooled off that's not our job. Do the mitzvahs, do halachas. I'm in a different space now. I have, a few children struggling in their journeys, and I have more of a nuanced approach to the young generation. So I'm just checking in. This is a slow, mindful process, working on the inside and sort of exuding it out. Am I understanding this correctly?
Right. So yes. So first of all, you should see continued nachas from all your precious neshamas. That's first of all. They're the biggest we have. You know that. And you'll understand what I meant before, that Hashem is pushing us into deeper ways of thinking, whether we like it or not. Like that, we have to. There's no question. So that's very wonderful. It's a curse and it's a blessing, and it's life. It's a journey. Like I mentioned before, we shouldn't see these two things as concurrent elements, where we have our Yiddishkeit and then we have our potential, whether it's passive or active impact on the world. I'd like to present it as literally two sides of the same coin, and fundamentally one in the sense that one is for the other. If we have Torah and mitzvahs, if we have, which we're presenting, a program for consciousness, that's really what it is. That's not how we teach it. That's not how we learn it. That's not how we do it, most of us, and myself most of the time, and many of us, you know, but if it was how it ought to be. So in the Mela, we become the Mamlechas Kohanim, like the Sephardim said. We become the priesthood nation. And in the Mela, we're better positioned with a healing of our perspectives on the Umas Ha'olam to find ways, whether it's, again, it's active, as the Lubavitch Rebbe, I didn't get to, there's so many sources here. The Lubavitch Rebbe Mamish, I was going to read to you, from Sichas HaKodesh, it's a wild thing. If you know a little bit Tanya, so the most Kabbalistic part of Tanya, which is obviously the Torah Sheval Pech Chassidus, it's a Torah Sheval Ksav, rather, of Chassidus, it's a very, very dense Kabbalistic work. The loftiest part is Shari Yichud Ben Muna. It's just, I think 12, 13 chapters, very thin, but it deals with Dvarim Ha'ayim Din Berumai Shalayla, right? The oneness of Hashem, how do we exist if everything is Hashem? How do we jive Enoi the Moladai with our experience of the Chira? It's unbelievable. Kishem Shumagin Hashem Alekim, the Shem Yudke Vavke, the Shem Alekim, unbelievable. The Lubavitch Rebbe, I'm going to read it to you because I anyway have it over here in the sources. He says over here, Echad Ata'amim La'atfasa Shari Yichav Emun B'Safa Inglit, He says one of the reasons to print Shar Yichud Ve'emunah in English, so that we should be able to teach this, which is, this is not the seven Noahide laws, you know, don't kill, don't steal, don't murder, please. Though what's the point of all of that? It's a framework for Emunah. They can join us and be our partners in Emunah. Don't they deserve to know who is the Elohim that they are at Selim of? So in this sense, it supercharges our own avoda without making us torchbearers to march out to the world and go and proselytize, you know, emunah to the world. It slips into conversations here and there. You take an Uber. You don't just sit, you're a little timid Jew from Gullus. You have a mission there. Why do you think we come into contact with Goyim? Why do you think we're in Gullus? Chazal say, Klal Yisrael went into Gullus to bring in Geirim. And Geirim means many, many things. On the one hand, these are not Geiri Mamish, but they're Geiri Toshav. That's what a Geir Toshav is. They're getting into the whole thing of it now. That's the universal religion for all of humanity. And so it changes our conception. First of all, it makes us much more edel. That we don't try to school systems, cut lines. These are terrible midas. I can't say it any other way. These are really bad midas. They are antithetical to Yiddishkeit. The sense of chosenness that we're the only ones and everyone else and they're stupid and we're the only ones who know and there's no, it's much, it's, if nothing else, it's, forget about bad theology, it's bad midas. And so it makes us softer, it makes us more open. And once you do that, because I try to live this way, you see how open the world is. Don't believe the media, not one inch of it. The media, everyone hates Jews and kills Jews. And is that, the world is desperate for us to mamish be yidden, maybe for the first time in history. They're finally not killing us. For the most part, we finally have the technology to mamish reach the whole world, where I like to say that Google Translate is the opposite of Migdal Bavel, because Migdal Bavel came and took one language and turned it into a million, and Google Translate is the anti-Migdal Bavel, where now you can literally speak to any person in the world. And Rav Shlomo Kalbach said that it's not that Hashem made that there are planes, and so now we meet more people. It's because Gevalt, we have to meet more people, so Hashem made planes. It's a whole different way of looking at it. It's like we're on a mission here.
I want to share one thing that you reminded me of.
Always in big ways.
I want to share one thing. I have a yoga teacher that's, non-Jewish. She's getting married in a week or two. And she told me about the days that she will be available, won't be available. And she says, a day before my wedding, I want to come and do yoga with you. I need to come back to myself before I go on such a spiritual journey of a wedding. And I'm not talking to her about it. Any shalom bias issues and nothing about, you know, chuppas. But thank you. Yeah.
That's
just living as a,
it's a shift in mindset.
Thank you.
And all of us will have our role. Some will have a bigger role. Some will have a small role. Yeah. Some won't go thank out you. Into the world at all, but it changes our conception of things.
Thank you very much.
Perfect. Let's go to one more last question and then we'll go to closing part. Hi. How are you?
Hi. Sure. Thank you so much. Every client for really having a very, very critical important conversations of this generation. I have to word my question sensitively, but I work in a school setting and I really try very hard to raise a language of authenticity, vulnerability. But I feel like anytime I try to touch on something deeper or more tender or something more real, it, to say that it's not well received is an understatement, whether it's even from the students or from my colleagues. And sometimes I'm torn. Maybe perhaps the extroverted Yiddishkeit is what resonates. Perhaps just the only language of Musar and the language and the Yiddishkeit of just the doing is what resonates for those people. And so I guess sometimes I like to believe that I'm on a certain shlichus, and other times I wonder maybe every Yid just needs, they have their own language that speaks to them. And so I guess there's two things to my questions. One is like practically, how can I introduce these things in a way that could be well received? And the second part of my question is perhaps maybe I'm trying to insert a language into a space that isn't meant to receive that. So I guess, I hope that was clear enough. Thank you so much.
Yeah, yes, for sure. Thank you for your question. I keep on saying this, it's very unsatisfying, but it's very hard to say without knowing the particulars of this dynamic. of the people and what you're teaching and how you're teaching and who the students are and what it's very difficult to say, but I'll just make two general comments. The first general comment is that there are shivim panim to Torah, and that's true. Uninspired, rote, habitual, community, society-oriented orthopraxy or, you know, halacha behaviorism is not one of the panim of Torah. Sometimes I get this when I was first writing my articles. Everybody's been following a little bit my journey almost a decade ago. And I was writing all sorts of things. I was very fired up. There was a whole debate, Hasidus, Pnimius, and my Rebbe Rav Wanger was getting attacked and this one. And I was writing articles. And this was like a comment that I kept on hearing. Like maybe people just like their Yiddishkeit this way. And people are allowed to serve Hashem any way they want. But there is no liking a Yiddishkeit a certain way if Hashem doesn't like it that way, because it's not for you. It might be much more comfortable to have a cultural Yiddishkeit, but Hashem wants your heart. Because the Gemara says in Bava Basra, Rachmana li baboy. And that's always true. That is always true. What form the heart takes, what that means, heart, might differ for different people. But it's got to be conscious. It's got to be real. And so for some, it's going to be Hasidus. For some, it's going to be a more mindful approach. To others, it's going to be the deeper sfarim in the Litvish Mahalach. Whether it's Nefesh HaChaim, it's one of my favorite sfarim in the world. I will never learn a chapter in Tanya without also learning a chapter in Nefesh HaChaim and vice versa. Because I believe the balance needs to be kept always, 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 always. But for some, it's going to be, Pachad Yitzchak. For some, it's going to be Maral and Reb Dessler. Who knows? Everybody's going to have their own way. But it's got to be a Yiddishkeit that's real. So that's number one. Don't be fooled. Because sometimes the shivim panim l'Torah, live and let live. It's very beautiful. But if you're in a teacher, in a educational role, you need to recognize that don't fall for the hastara, shivasvecha hastara on the surface. They look like they're not interested. Their neshamas are screaming out for it. They are. Now, how to give it over and in what way, whether it's in a communal format or in a classroom format, or whether it's individual by individual. And whether it's not maybe giving over ideas in a formal sense, but to just build a relationship with the girls or boys, whoever you're teaching, probably girls, and to in the prism of their own lives and of their own opening up and the things that they're going through, then you find a way to give them healing. Because Yiddishkeit is not a religion. Yiddishkeit is mamish baseline perspectives on our own identity, on our identity in the community, our identity in the world. And so it's not, we took this thing Judaism and we turned it into like a religion, and it's a shame, because there is the only one religion, and it's the religion of all humans, and it's the religion of Tzelem Elokim. It's a religion of the whole creation, as we're going to read in a few minutes in the closing from Rav Kook, the whole existence singing the song of the Shekhinah. That's what it is. So you'll find a way, but don't be fooled on the outside that they're not uninspired, they're not uninterested. They are desperately interested. Nebuch, the sleep is so deep that, you know, when somebody tries to provoke a little bit, people get very defensive. Okay, you get past it. People got to get past it. They're going to get past it one way or another. So I don't know how specific this is of assistance, but just a general comment. Don't be fooled.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Exactly what I needed. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Let's go to the closing part. Hold on one second. So again, shkreh for Yaakov Klein for waking up 3:00 in the morning in the UK for us, giving us very deep.
How am I going to go back to sleep after this? Got to carry on. Have the whole world to change.
Start your day.
You can sleep all
day. How do you wake up 2:30 in the morning? Very normal. Shkreh for coming on. Chizik, to make sure again it's 200. If anyone wants to join the WhatsApp chat, please WhatsApp me at 732-314-70 then. Could also go to MenachemBerfel.com and sign up for his emails where he sends the flyers and the replays. Again, if anybody's here the first time, every Sunday night at 9:30, the Zoom ID, we have different shiur, different topics, different everything. So please join us. Next week, September 1st, there will not be a shiur. Please join us September 8th. We're going to have a program with Aaron Schwartzman, a big therapist from Boca Raton, Florida. This topic is really understanding and healing the authentic self, how attachment and identity shape addiction recovery. It's a real conversation about identity, who we are, knowing ourselves. It should be a very powerful program. Please join us. If people know about it, everything that Shem has recorded, so I'm not going to follow that. If there's any questions, please email coachmenachem@gmail.com. And again, tonight's share 200. If you want to hear it on the phone lines, our number is 732-305-9011. And Rabbi Klein, people want to know how they get in contact with you. How do they listen to your shiurim? Give us the general rundown, and then we'll go back to Coach Menachem. Just to answer that for us.
Sure. I believe that I sent you a link to a link tree.
I'm going to send it out.
That's the easiest way, because if you click on that, that has all of, we have WhatsApp groups. We have hundreds of shiurim online. Baruch Hashem, 4 books I just recently put out. Another sefer called From My Heart to Yours. So I think the link was already put on the chat. And if you can post the link to the link tree, that's the easiest way. There's a direct contact there, and it's a bit of a rabbit hole because there's a lot out there, but you'll, Baruch Hashem, hopefully find something.
Menachem Matrem will email the link with the information, everybody, please take it from there. Again, thank you to all the advertising sponsors, Lakewood Scoop and Ellie and Ariel from Firetown Central, Kyle Calvin from JCN, and we'll go to closing. Menachem will go first, and then Rabbi Klein. Coach Menachem, closing.
And again, every time I listen to you, it just opens up to new ideas, new consciousness, takes me to a different place. And that is amazing. And I know a lot of people sitting here, you know, it might be new, something that it sounds like, you know, going deeper and deeper, not knowing where. But I'm saying, for beginners, sit with it, you know, it takes time to understand. It's just the idea of, it's really all about ourself, the way we, our relationship with Hashem, the relationship with the Torah, how we live so that everybody around us, whether it's our kids or the world, and how they catch it, they feel it, they see it. So I know a lot do need healing, talking about panemias, connecting with our hearts, slowing down and appreciating, whether it's a mitzvah, why am I doing it? It could be new for many people, but it's never too late. And here we are, Baruch Hashem. Erev Shabbos, Amisha, a few minutes to Shabbos. We can smell the kugel, smell the challenge. You can feel it's coming. And we're here and we're trying to figure out, what am I supposed to do? How am I going to get ready? And just an idea of, find one thing that you can do, work on, that's gonna give you that feeling that we're looking for, that idea, that the panemius. And I believe if it's one thing, you know, it could be for a few weeks, one thing that you're learning, you're looking into, it could be even, you know, one piece of davening or one mitzvah. That's where you start. That's where you start your journey. And I want to understand more. And every day when you do it, you're connected and you start feeling it. And eventually it goes out, our kids, our family, and the world, and it's Hashem, and Hashem should help us. And we should be zoicha to see Mashiach, and we should know that we were part of this, and we did what we need to do, and it's Hashem, so shkoyach.
Amen.
Rabbi Klein, after 2 hours, let's hear the Varma Yitzchak and Aleph. Let's hear your closing.
First of all, it's such a privilege to sit with over 200 Yidden for most of the time. It's a very, very long time to sit and to learn. What a schus. Like I said, I just started the outset. This is a group of Mevakshei Hashem. Mevakshei Hashem are fearless, are courageous, know that there's something missing, and are seeking it. And remember what Reb Sadik says, it's not about the finding per se, but every little bit that we do find, that we resonate with, that speaks to us, it's the greatest joy. It's the greatest joy. And we're all on our journey. And Hashem, but one way or another, whether it's through books or it's through life, we're being pushed into Pnimius. We are being pushed into the world of Pnimius HaTorah. And so, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us that ability to continue to search, to be people that are constantly growing, upgrading, evolving, humble, recognizing that there's nothing to be ashamed of. No matter where we are in life, there's always more to learn and to grow. And for some, we're just starting this process. For others, we're well on our way. But double click on all of these things. So if it's Rav Kook that spoke to you a little bit, Rav Kook is a universe that for most of us never have access to because of, again, our smallness and our community identification. It's not my Ashkafa, it's not my this, not my that. Okay, but today it's oxygen. And today, if you can't, don't have oxygen, you could have your masar, but you could die. You know, it's like, today we need things that are mamash giving us air to breathe, pashut, you know? And so that's something. If it was Rabbeinu Mozeg, who you probably would never have heard of otherwise. I found him in a footnote from in an essay by Radin Steinzel, like very obscure, very obscure. So hopefully this is going to bring him and his thought and his book, which I cannot recommend highly enough. It's not for the faint of heart. Very big, very big. And you have to understand the context in which he was writing and his Christian contemporaries, and there's a lot of Testament in there. It's a very big stuff, but that is highly encouraged for further reading, Israel and Humanity. My humble sfarim are there to double click on. So many shiurim, Zoom shiur that we give throughout the week. Would love for you to join this community of Mevakshei Hashem. If I can, I'd just like to close with reading one last thing from Rav Kook, and then we'll call it, a night for you and a almost morning for me. And this is a very famous teaching from Rav Kook. It's from Shmoyne Kfasim, which is 8 huge notebooks of random flashes of inspiration. Cook was something else, just something else. He was not just speaking to our generation. It's wild. If it would have been written this morning, it would be remarkable how fresh it is. And this was written 100, however many years ago. He says like this. This is called the 4-part song. There is one who sings the song of the individual soul. This person finds everything inside the soul and experiences it in total spiritual fulfillment. Then there is one who sings the song of the nation, leaving the boundaries of the individual soul, which are found to be too narrow and not idealistic enough. This person yearns for great heights and unites with the entire Jewish people with deep love. Pained by the nation's suffering, finding happiness in its dream, the one who sings the song of the nation is immersed in deep thoughts concerning its past and future and tries to understand its inner spiritual nature with love and a wise heart. And that's Halavai, where most of us are. Halavai. What I'm beginning to introduce is the next song, which most of us might never have even thought about or considered. Then there is one whose soul is so all-encompassing, which I believe many of our children's souls are, that it expands beyond the limits of the Jewish people, and it's the one who sings the song of humanity. This person's spirit ascends and becomes concerned with the greatness of mankind and its divine image, its Tzelem Elokim, seeking humanity's ultimate purpose and looking forward to its ultimate perfection. From this source of life, the singer of the song of humanity draws all thoughts and insights, all ideals and visions. Then there is one, we didn't really speak about this, but this is the ultimate, we hinted to it, who rises even higher, this is the 4th song, to unite with the entire world. With all creatures, with all of existence, every leaf, every little blade of grass, every flower, every tree, every experience, every place, every person, everything, and with all of existence. And with all of them, the singer of the song of all existence sings. This is a person who is immersed in Parak Shira, who Chazal described, who is guaranteed the world to come. But he's darshaning, but it's not just the person who says Parak Shira, but it's a person who, to whom the whole world is a song. That's what Parak Shira means. Everything is part of the Jewish experience. Everything is a part of Achdus Hashem. And here he closes, and with this we'll finish for now. And then there is one who rises up with all these songs together. That's what we're pushing for. That's what Pnimius is. Pnimius is not this or that. Pnimius is both. It's the integration. That's Pnimius. Each gives its voice. Each plays its melody. The song of the soul, the song of the nation, the song of humanity, and the song of existence. All harmonize within the ideal human being at every moment and at all times. And we are capable of this. We are. And we sell ourselves very short. It's very new for people that it's also, but we're capable of this. And this, I believe, is what our neshamas are yearning for. And all the while that we don't access this, mashu chaser. And this is what I found in my life. After really leaning into this bigger vision, I feel so secure in my Jewish identity. Because I was a bit like, I was confused about it before. You walk in an airport, like, what am I? What are they? Like, what's this us and them? Like, what, does Hashem not care about them? Like, are they, like, and like I mentioned earlier, our interaction with the secular literature, which many in the mental health community are doing, I'm finding tremendous depth and wisdom. It's like, it can be jarring. But now I walk the world with such pride. such a love in my heart. I pass every human being on the street and I think, here's a potential student. Here's a potential friend. Who knows what I can share with them? Who knows what they could share with me? And if you approach the world with openness, great things can happen. And so even again, I want to stress, even if the practical element here isn't going out and, you know, finding a Noahide somewhere and giving classes, you know, it begins to shift our perspectives on who we are as individuals, as part of this nation, what this nation is as part of the human family. There's so much more to say. There's so much more depth in Ben Oleseg's writings, and the whole thing is, it's a huge book. It's very, very big. There's so much there, and how he integrates everything into the Kabbalistic system of the spheros, and the integration is what Am Yisrael is. Not going to get into any of that now, but keep seeking, keep hopeful. We're on our journey to Sinai. Don't allow Amalek to come in the way and cool you off. It's mamish. We're so close that we need it now more than ever. Hope, joy, vision. And that's my blessing to you and to me. Shabizoka, to continue journeying together. B'siyata d'shamayim.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Everybody should enjoy your time off. Hashem, next week's won't be a share. We'll see you September 8th. Darren Schwartzman to join us. Rabbi Klein, thank you so much for waking up early and giving us your time. We really appreciate it. And everybody have a wonderful week.
Zayazan.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Kol HaLashon, a whole world of quality content.